in pastoring a church very similar to this one. And we believed God wanted to do good things in our finances. People had questions. They'd say, "Brother David, I just don't understand it. I'm a tither, I'm a giver. But what the Bible says could be happening in my finances and what really is happening in my finances are two different things. Can anybody in Arkansas relate to that?" You know, in the Bible, we read, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." And then we read our checkbook, and it said something different. Now, some people were pressed down. Some couples were shaken together. And some of them went running over to the bank to get a loan to carry them through, but they didn't think that's exactly what Jesus had in mind. And so God began to unveil some things to me that added to what I already knew, things that started helping me right then, things that are helping me today, and I believe things that are going to help me this week. And then He really disrupted my life when He just dropped a vision in my heart and I saw somebody else pastoring that church. And I'm going to tell you, that's a real funny feeling when you're the pastor. And you realize, whoa, I've just prayed myself out of a job here. You know, one of those cushy church jobs and so on and so forth. But I saw myself going into good churches and fellowships, sharing things that actually are going to help me this week. And I just have a call on my life to pass those on to as many people as I can, as often as I can. I've got a call to help retrain the body of Christ concerning finances and to teach others and to help them connect their reaping to their sowing. That's really our theme for this weekend, is connecting our reaping to our sowing, a real simple message that I believe is going to just add something to you. And when you leave today, I believe you'll say, "You know what? I can do something with that right now. I can do something with it today. It's going to help me this week in Jesus' name." Now, to start off with, we're going to talk about a fellow from the Bible that's just an ordinary person like you and I are. And now, he later got to write a couple of books in the Bible. We're talking about Simon Peter here. And you know, when you get to write a couple of books in the Bible, that's pretty special. And you know, Brother Dave and I, we turned in some material to get it put in the Bible, but we were told it had already gone out to the printer, and so it couldn't be added. But Peter, when we first read about him, he's a gentleman, he's got a family, he's got a house, he's got a business with a few employees. He experienced the same life pressures that you and I feel. He had family pressures. We're going to see in a story here a moment where he had some financial pressures. But the way he responded to the financial pressures and some things the Lord did, we can just put ourselves right in that same story, in that same set of circumstances, and see the same good results that he got. Will you turn with me in your Bibles, if you brought them with you here this morning, to Luke chapter 5? Now, by the time we get to Luke chapter 5, there's some things we need to know. There's some context that needs to be put in place. Leading up to Luke chapter 5, Peter and the Lord already have developed and are starting to develop a relationship. You know, Peter attended the synagogue on Saturday, and he was just, I'm sure, fairly devout. One day, a guy showed up who taught and spoke like no rabbi he had ever heard. This was Jesus, of course. He hears Jesus teach over several Sabbath days. And then all of a sudden, one day, something happened in the synagogue he had never seen. All of a sudden, this ordinary-looking person screams out and says, "I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of God." Come to find out, this guy had an evil spirit living inside. And this evil spirit was stirred up by the presence and teaching and anointing of Jesus. And with a word, Jesus cast out that demon. Now, I suspect that's the most excitement they've had in the old synagogue in a very, very long time. Well, after one of those Sabbaths, Peter had been drawing on the Lord while he's been teaching, and the Lord hooked up with Peter, and in essence, it worked out for Jesus to go to Peter's house for lunch. Now, it's one thing to relate to the Lord in the large gathering like we have here. It's something totally different when the Lord stops by for Sunday afternoon lunch. How many think that would take your relationship to a new level? You know, in the large gathering, you can sort of slink back, you can sort of hide, you can sort of blend in. But when Jesus is sitting across the table, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, all of a sudden, we've kicked it up to the next level, have we not? And so while Jesus was there, it comes to his attention that Peter's mother-in-law has a very high fever, very sick. Jesus goes over, touches her hand, speaks a word. Instantly the fever leaves. All of this is making a real impression on Peter. He's seeing things and he's hearing things and he's developing this relationship. By the time you get to chapter 5, here's what we have. They've got a relationship. The Lord has been giving. Peter has been receiving. Now, because of the goodness and the majesty of God, if you want a relationship where the Lord does all the giving and you do all the receiving, I will honestly tell you that is possible because God is so good. Isn't it good to know that He's that good? That it could be kind of one-sided and we just receive and He gives and we just always show up wanting stuff. And He'll still have a relationship with us. He is that majestic and that gracious and that generous. How can you not love a Savior like that? But if that's the kind of relationship that you have, well, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be as fulfilling as you'd like it to be. There's a lot of joys you're going to miss. What if you could take the relationship up one higher level? And that's going to happen with Peter in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's." See, there's several boats there, but he gets into a particular boat. He gets into a certain boat. It was Simon's. "And asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." Right here, the relationship between Jesus and Peter is changing, and it's going to the next level. Peter has been receiving, the Lord has been giving. Now, for the very first time, the Lord asked Peter to give something back. He asked Peter for the use of his boat. We could say it this way. The Lord asked Peter to give an offering. It was not a cash offering. Peter didn't give a check. He didn't give by credit card. He gave the use of his boat, but nonetheless, it was an offering. It was a gift. It was tangible. Simon Peter sowed a seed, a tangible seed, into the ministry of Jesus. And right here, Peter became a partner in everything Jesus was doing. He'd been receiving, now he's putting something back into it. And whatever happens to this group of people on this day, Peter had a part in it because he gave something tangible. Can you see how his relationship has gone to the next level? And when you think about all the ways that Peter could have participated in the ministry of Jesus at this moment, there aren't many. Suppose that the Lord had come over by Peter and put his arms around Peter and said, "Hey, Peter, look up the hillside there about a third of the way up. See that really crazy looking guy? You know, the guy that looks like, you know, his hair is all wild and he looks like he's strung out on something. That guy's got an evil spirit in him. I want you to go up there and cast it out like you saw in the synagogue." You know, Peter's like, "Hey, I can give you my boat, man, but I'm not ready for the demon casting out kind of stuff." He can't do that. He can't go over there to the crippled person yet and lay hands on him or her. But what can he do? He can give the use of his boat. You see, one of the first ways that we can become actively involved in and a part of the ministry of Jesus is when we learn the grace of returning financially something back to Him through our tithes and offerings. It's probably the first and foremost way that we can become an active participant in the ministry of Jesus. Now, what's important as we're looking at this story is to keep in mind all that's going on. When we read down in verse 5, we're going to find out that Peter at this moment was under serious financial pressure. If you've ever been under financial pressure, you ought to be able to relate to this story, because at this moment, Peter is experiencing some fairly strong financial pressure. He's wondering how he's going to pay the bills. He's wondering how he's going to pay the employees. How do we know this? Verse 5 says, Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Now you got to keep in mind, back in chapter 4, we find out Peter has a house. He has a mother-in-law. If he has a mother-in-law, he has what? A wife. You see, they come together. It's a two-for-one deal. Peter was, I'm telling you, he was living the dream. His mother-in-law lived at his house. Now, if he had a wife, he probably had, no, not a puppy. He probably had children. So here's an ordinary guy with a house, family at the house. He's got expenses. He's got employees. And here he says, "We worked all night and caught nothing." What he's saying is, we've worked all night and made no money. We worked all night, but now I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my expenses, pay the employees. At this moment, he is sensing financial pressure. And if you think that financial pressure isn't something that people in the Bible felt, you are mistaken, because he's feeling it right here. But let's look at what Peter has on his side. You know, what you want to do is you want to stack the odds in your favor, right? How many have ever felt like the odds were stacked against you? What you want to do is you want to start stacking the odds in your favor. And it's within the ability of every one of us today to start stacking the odds in our favor. Here's what was in Peter's favor. He was developing a relationship with the Lord. Going back over several weeks or months, he's heard Jesus teach in the synagogue. He sat across from Jesus at lunch. He's seen Jesus do miracles. So this relationship is developing. And then when the Lord asked Peter to give, he gave. He took his relationship to that next level. So he's got that in his favor. Another thing he has in his favor, excuse me, is that when he was feeling financial pressure, he did not distance himself from the Lord. If at some point in the future or if presently you are feeling or sensing some financial pressure, don't distance yourself from the Lord. While Jesus is here ministering, Peter is washing his nets. Where's he at? He's just down the shore, isn't he? He's staying close. He can see what Jesus is doing. He can hear a lot of what Jesus is saying. And so he's there close so that if the Lord wants to tell him something, he can do that. So he's got that in his favor. How else is he stacking the odds in his favor? When the Lord asked Peter to give, he gave. Do you see how that what Peter's putting on his side of the ledger is going to get so overwhelming that it's going to overwhelm the financial need that he has? I mean, Peter is just really stacking this side over here, and there's going to be a breakthrough, and something is going to happen, and it's going to be good. Now, there may be folks here this morning that you've done some of that. You know, maybe you've started developing a relationship with the Lord. And Brother David's told me about, you know, the folks that have been coming to the Lord or coming back to the Lord, and how the church has been growing. So that tells me that a lot of folks sitting out there that, you know, you're inquiring or you're developing a relationship or you're trying to get back on track in your relationship. And thank God for that. You're to be commended for that, and good things are in store for you. It's always exciting to see people going that direction. So maybe you've got that going for you. And You know, maybe at this time in your life you're sensing some financial pressure and you're trying to get close, you're trying to stay close. And you see, that's to be commended as well. One thing that can be a hurdle for folks is when it comes to actually giving something back into the ministry of Jesus, that's where a lot of folks hit a hurdle. How many know what I'm talking about? And I can't 100% relate with all of that because I was raised in a Christian home. I understood from as early as I can remember that, you know, the tithe belongs to the Lord, and that means a tenth. A tenth belongs to the Lord, and I just started my life that way. And, you know, the nice thing about when you start that way is then you arrange your life around that, and you try not to let anything interfere with that. And then there's blessings that flow from that. And when somebody, you come to the Lord, and maybe you're paying for a previous household, and now you've got the current household, and you're paying for both of those, and you didn't set your life up that way, I realize what a challenge that can be. What's good, though, is in times like that is when we make that step, how that the supernatural power of God rises up, and God does good things to sort of energize us and help us at that point to get over that hurdle. But we do have to take that step. When the Lord spoke to Peter about the use of his boat and got into his boat, Peter, for the first time in his life, was giving something back into the ministry of Jesus. And so he's stacking all of this in his favor. But while all this is going on, he's still feeling financial pressure. You know, I want to assure you that just, you know, the moment you start taking these steps, that doesn't mean that instantly all the pressure will ease, but you're moving in the right direction. You're starting to stack things in your favor, and that's what you absolutely must do. Now, let's look at verse 4. Now, Jesus has been ministering, preaching, teaching, probably healing the sick. That comes to a conclusion. In verse 4 it says, "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" What he's telling Peter here is something that I've been saying to congregations for the past couple of years. I've been teaching a new series called Surviving the Storm, and this series all came together about the same time that we all learned through the news that the whole financial world as we knew it was on fire and somebody almost burned the house down, figuratively speaking. And I've been teaching out of that series for about 2 years, almost every weekend, every Sunday. One of the things I've been telling people from that series is that, you know, if I'll stay close to the Lord, if I'll stay in a place where I can hear God's voice, the Lord will tell me something that will make things better this week. Not next month, not next year, this week. And actually, as I look at this story, you know, I have to revise that a little bit. Are you ready to shout here at Believers Church? The Lord will tell me something today that will make things better today. Yeah, I like that better than this week, don't you? And right here in verse 4, the Lord tells Peter something that's going to make things better financially for him today. Actually, I like to say it this way. Peter is sowing in the morning and he's reaping in the afternoon. Boy, it doesn't get any better than that, saints. Now, how many know that if I had a certain mindset and were bent a certain way, I could take a thought like that, run with it, and be exploitive with that? How many understand what exploitation is? You know, I could take a biblical truth here, Peter sowed in the morning, reaped in the afternoon, and then we could do some really weird and crazy things in the offering and manipulate a little bit. That's not the point. That's not, you know, you can't tell people that every time they'll sow in the morning and reap in the afternoon. It's just that from this one story in the Bible, we see it happen. It can happen. It will happen. What the Lord did here by telling Peter what he told him was he helped Peter connect his reaping to his sowing. So you see, that is one of the biggest needs when it comes to finances in the body of Christ. We've got a whole bunch of people out there that for 10, 15, 20 years, they've sowed and sowed and sowed, and they haven't seen the reaping that they thought they were going to see. What's missing is they're missing an element that connects their reaping to their sowing. The way this almost always happened in the Bible is somebody would be close to the Lord. They'd endeavor to move closer. The Lord would lead them to give. And then after they responded in faith and obedience, the Lord would tell them something. He'd either show them a vision or give them a dream, or He would speak something to them. And what the Lord would speak to them would take the gifts and abilities they already have. Say, already have. And the Lord would just say something to them that arranges those abilities right. You know what I'm standing in front of right here today? I'm standing in front of a room full of people who have gifts and abilities. Everybody in this room has some kind of gift, some kind of skill, some kind of ability, some kind of a characteristic. But I'm also standing in front of several also that those gifts and abilities just simply aren't arranged right. They're out of place, they're out of sync, they're arranged wrong. If you could just hear one thing that would arrange those gifts and abilities right, you would be making more money in the few weeks than what you have been up till today. If you just heard that one thing, if you knew that one thing that would put these gifts and abilities right away, you'd be making more money. You see, that's what happened to Peter. Peter is up against a lifetime of training. You know, sometimes training helps us, and then we can reach a point in our life where our training is working against us. You know, our training may be that things work a certain way, it's done a certain way, but sometimes life and work and the marketplace changes. A lot of people have thought, you know, hey, I've come out of school here, I've come out of Votech school, and I've got a great job at this great company, and they are going to take care of me for the rest of my life. Really? Well, maybe there was a day when that was true. Maybe in the 50s that was true. Maybe in the 60s, even the 70s. How many know things have changed? You see, Peter's been taught, if you're going to catch fish, Bubba, you have to fish at night, in the shallow. At night in the shallow. Peter, get that through your head. At night in the shallow. That's the way his grandfather did it. That's the way his father did it. That's the way he's always done it. One night he goes out and fishes the way he's always fished. He's always provided for his family. He's always made enough to pay his employees. And this one night, the fish aren't there. This actually inspired Peter to write an inspirational book called Who Moved My Fish? I think it's where the guy got the idea to write the book Who Moved My Cheese? But for Peter, it was Who Moved My Fish? Somebody moved his fish. And saints, sometimes the fish just move. And what did Peter do wrong here? Did Peter do anything wrong? No, not that we can see. Was it a lack of diligence? Well, no, he said he worked hard all night, so we can't cite him for lack of diligence. We can't cite him for not being close to the Lord. It's just that the fish moved. Now, what do I do when the fish move? Well, I want to emulate Peter. I want to continue to develop my relationship with the Lord. I want to stay in a place, even when I'm under financial pressure, where I can hear His voice. I want to either start or continue the discipline of giving to the Lord my tithes and offerings. And then I want to stay at a place where that because I do that... You see, there's something about giving, whether it's my tithes or my offerings or my alms to the poor. Somehow it does a work in me, and it opens me to where I can hear the voice of the Spirit a little more clearly than maybe I have. Or if I just maintain my normal discipline of tithes and offerings and giving, it just keeps me open to where I can hear the Spirit of the Lord. You see, whenever I give, what I'm doing is I'm releasing the nature of God into my circumstance, aren't I? See, the Bible says God so loved that He gave. God loved, He gave. I love, I give. Everybody nod your head yes. So you see, whenever I give my tithes, my offerings, you see, I'm just releasing the nature of God. And that nature of God flows out into my circumstances, and it starts turning my circumstances in a favorable way. You see, the course of this world is corruption and decay, is it not? Everything goes down. Everything corrupts. Everything decays. The only thing that keeps something from decaying or corrupting is the life and nature of God. So whenever I give, I'm just releasing the life and nature of God into my circumstances to reverse the corruption, reverse the decay, to turn things in my favor. And so when the Lord asked Peter for the use of His boat, and when Peter gave that tangible offering, he was just emulating the Lord, emulating God, releasing God's life and nature into his circumstance. And that life and nature was going to do something about the fact that the fish moved. Every one of us have had the fish move. You know, I've had fish move. I can remember, you know, Brother Dave, back in the 90s, field ministry was so easy back in the 90s. You know, I could churches would schedule 6 months to a year out. You could go to a church and start on a Sunday morning, and you could do Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. There'd be a pretty good turnout for the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday nights. And it was, I mean, it was easy. And I'm like, wow, this is easy. Well, then somebody moved those fish. Those cotton-picking fish moved on me. You know, you get into this decade that we've just been in or came through, and all of a sudden, it seemed like people changed. They got busier. Churches changed. Having special meetings wasn't easier. And then churches' finances got constricted. And whereas churches used to want to schedule 6 to 8 months or a year in advance, now they don't want to schedule any farther than a month or two out. Because they know how things are today, and we think a month from now things will be okay. But beyond that, we don't have a clue. It just changed everything. Somebody moved those fish on me. So I understand that fish can move. What do we do? We keep developing our relationship with the Lord. When things are tough, we stay close where we can hear His voice. When the Lord directs us to give, we give. And we actually just maintain a lifestyle of giving. And we realize, you know, the tenth belongs to the Lord. Going back to the father of faith, Abraham. And Abraham started that. And he got that rolling whenever Melchizedek, who was a type and shadow of Jesus, came to him with bread and wine. What, doesn't that sound New Testament to you? Melchizedek, who was a type of Jesus, brought out bread and wine. What does that sound like? Help me here. Huh? The communion. Yes, I knew somebody here would know this. And then Abraham, who was a man of faith, he wasn't under the old covenant. And here comes Melchizedek, a type of Jesus with bread and wine, and Abraham gives him a tenth. Does that not have New Testament just stamped all over it? And then Isaac continued that, and Jacob continued that. And it was just that people of faith realize a tenth, at least a tenth, is set aside for the Lord. And so I want to maintain that discipline, knowing that as I maintain that discipline, that opens me up to where I can hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me something, so that on those occasions, and yes, they'll come, when the fish move, I can hear His voice and He can tell me where the fish moved to. Well, that's what He said to him in verse 4. Read verse 4. He said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." In other words, He was saying, "Peter, I want you to do something different than you've ever done it before." Sometimes when the fish move, we have to do things differently. The question is, how do I know what to do? If the fish move, Votek probably can't tell me what to do. Even though I went to Votek, or whatever, or college, or graduate school. If the fish move, nobody can tell me what to do. But you see, if I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father, and I can hear His voice speak to me at times, He can tell me what to do on exactly those occasions. Now let's read on in verse 5. Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Well, hallelujah. This is a great day. How many think there was a little excitement on the lake? Man, oh man. First boat, Peter fills it up and he looks over the side of the first boat. And what's down there? What does he know is down there? More fish. And he remembers, oh yeah. We've got another boat. And he calls out for that second boat. It comes out. They fill up that second boat. Peter looks over the side again. And what does he know is still down there? More fish. And as one of the prophets said, he doesn't have room enough to contain it. And then verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I read verse 8 to illustrate and to help us locate where Jesus is while this is going on. Peter's filling up the first boat. And do you sense the excitement in Peter when that boat's been filling? Especially just since he said, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. Now he's filling up that first boat. I tell you what, there's some excitement in Simon Peter. Where is Jesus right then? He's on the boat. That's right. Then they fill up the second one. There's even more excitement. Where is Jesus? He's still in the boat. You see, what I love about this is, you know, the church world for hundreds of years has tried to separate money from spirituality. Worship is spiritual, money is secular. Worship is holy, money is natural. The Lord doesn't look at it that way. One minute the Lord is speaking to the multitudes and probably healing the sick, and the next minute he tells Peter, now Peter, I want you to go out and make some money. You see, in the Lord's mind, there's no difference between be healed and go make money. Healing is important to the Lord. You and I having our needs met is important to the Lord. The Lord does not make the distinction that the church world has made for hundreds and hundreds of years. The Lord didn't say, Peter, I want you to go out there and make a bunch of money, and then when you get all that done, when you get all that money made, come back here and talk to me. No. He got in the boat with him. When Peter was out there making a pile of money, Jesus was right there. He was right there. And so, the Lord wants us to make money. He's excited when we make money. He's with us when we make money. He's okay with us making money. He was right there with Peter when one of the most outstanding financial miracles of the Bible happened. Now, you know, I'm so glad this happened on the same day for Peter. You know, Peter took this step of giving and right immediately there was a huge thing that happened. There was a huge blessing. I know that we can't say this for sure in every single case, but it looks to me like that whenever I take that step and begin to get over that hurdle of committing to the Lord that tenth, of making that a part of my Christian life, you know, and it's a new thing for me, and it's a strange thing, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out. I'd like to think and know, based on this story, that there's going to be some real help and aid and assistance and favor and good things and miracles start coming my way because I take that step. We do know for sure from this story that the Lord will tell us something today that will, if not make things better this week, might even make things better today. You and I are this close. Everybody do that with your fingers. Say, I'm this close. You and I are this close to doing better. We are this close to doing better. All we need is that one piece of information that will connect our reaping to our sowing. Thank God we've sowed. There's folks sitting here today that you've, for 10, 15, and 20 years, you've been sowing seeds. Not all of them have come up, but the good news is those seeds are still alive and they're still out there. And if we could just hear that one thing that would connect my reaping to my sowing, a bunch of those seeds I've sowed in the past, those will come up and I'll make some future seeds. They'll come up too, just because I hear that one thing. Peter was close enough to hear that one thing. There is that one thing for you and I here today. The Lord will say, do this. And aren't you glad He made it simple for Peter? How many here would be helped if the Lord would just make it real simple? Do this. You know, I'll close with this testimony. I love this testimony. I was teaching at a church over in Eureka Springs. They had me come down every Wednesday night in January and February, and I taught a class. It was fun to do that. I love those classroom type settings. And there was this one guy. He would sit on the front row every week, and he wore glasses that were pretty thick. So whenever you would look, and I like to make eye contact with people. Whenever you'd look at him, it made his eyes look large. And of course, I'm telling myself, it's just the awe and wonder, you know. But I think it was the glasses. But he was just there every week, soaking it up like a sponge. And he was a painter. He paints houses by trade. And of course, winter time had been on. And the building, you know, the home business, you know, building was down. I knew things were really tough for him. But I kept emphasizing that every week. The Lord will tell us something today that will make things better this week. So I asked for a testimony one Wednesday night. And he said, I've got one. He said, the Lord told me something after last Wednesday night. And folks, this is deep. Now, this is so deep. He said, the Lord told me to make a sign. I told you this was deep. If you need to write that down, go ahead. We'll take the time. Make a sign. Well, the guy lived right on Highway 62. Probably the busiest highway in the area. He's a painter. So what he did was he painted a sign that said, I paint houses, and left his phone number. The first day he sticks that out there, somebody comes in and hires him to paint their house. That was complicated. Make a sign. The Lord told him something that made things better for him that week. It was something simple, something he could do. You see, there is that one thing for you and I. That one thing, if we hear that one thing, it'll pull some things together and cause things to happen, if not today, probably this week and very soon. And we'll do as much for us as those two boats full of fish, thank God, did for Peter, in Jesus' name. Can we pray this morning? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for this group of people. Father, I just ask that your grace and mercy and just presence and power would just overwhelm every person sitting here in this room, in this auditorium. Father, I just pray that your grace and mercy will enable every person here today to hear your voice more clearly than they ever have before. And Father, there are those that here today that want to step their relationship up and go to the next level, and they want to become a part of what you're doing, even tangibly and financially. Father, I pray that your grace and mercy will aid them and come alongside them right now to make that adjustment, to make that shift, and to make it long term in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that your peace and comfort will just work with them as they make that step and make that move. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you and have a relationship with you, I pray that you will draw them by your Spirit to yourself and to the cross this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's just lift our hands and worship God for a moment. Could we do that? Father, we just worship you and thank you and praise you for your mercy to us and your abundance, Lord. You just overflow to us every day. And we receive that and we declare it. We bless you for it in Jesus' name. Now, while you're there praying, maybe you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with God. You're not sure where you would spend eternity if your life were to come to an end. And you're here and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And you want to have a relationship with God. You're ready to repent of your sins. If that's you, and your hand isn't lifted right now, why don't you go ahead and slip your hand up and say, that's me. Pray for me. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Is there anyone this morning? anyone this morning. All right? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not for sure. There may have been a hand or two raised. But you know, it wouldn't hurt us if we just, to make sure, if we prayed, and if you did raise your hand saying you don't have a relationship with God, you pray this where you can hear yourself. And the rest of us, we're just going to jump right in there and join in and pray this with you so you won't be by yourself. But let's all do this together. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you to enter into a relationship. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And this day I repent of all my sins. I ask you to forgive me. And this day I declare that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I take Him as my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If either today or very recently, if you've made a commitment and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, get with one of the folks that are ushers here in the church. I'm sure they've got some new believers material. Even if you didn't pray that today for the first time, but maybe in the past week or two with a friend or a relative, you maybe prayed like that. Get with them. They've got some material that would help you. Before Pastor David comes and changes the order of the service, he did mention there's a book and CD table out there. There's two sets of material. One set of material that I've been teaching for over 20 years is called Biblical Money Dynamics, Why Money Flows to Some and Away from Others, Multiplying Money, Connecting the Reaping to the Sowing, Money and Character, Five Kinds of Income. That's in CD form. It's in book form. We can even still get tapes of that. Tapes, what are those? I mean, they are fading away. But all of the material out there comes at a suggested price. We can work with debit cards and the like. What I mean by a suggested price is if you're in a spot where you need teaching on this subject the most, but temporarily you can afford it the least, and it's just not in your budget, just do what you can toward the suggested price. Take it, be blessed. If you can do a little extra, maybe you'll consider doing so, and it all balances out that way. There's another series out there. It's in CD only right now. It's not in book form yet. Probably will never get into tape form, but it's called Surviving the Storm. It's a 5-CD set, and I would encourage you to, especially if you feel like you're on the brink somehow, some way, avail yourself of that material. The same offer I mentioned on the other is out there. God bless you guys. Thank you for the way you've received the Word this morning. And just keep the faith and, you know, run the race, finish your course. And there's going to be great things for each and every one of us, both individually and corporately. Brother David?